share here. And the first thing that we do is we have what's called a workplace engagement continuum, which really establishes where an organization is at. And those, the beginning of that, there's five steps in that before we get to the sixth. But it takes an organization that starts at a tribal level and then goes to a dynamic level. And within that, we talk about tribalism and how tribalism can be a positive, but when tribalism becomes a negative, it becomes in the next stage, what we call the reactive stage, where people's mindsets from the tribalism, they try to impose that on whichever new group or new market or new company, and they come with their own mentality, and they're not seeking what I call an equal value exchange, which means when I greet another person or another market from somewhere else, I'm seeking my mindset, my culture is to understand what are the good things of this culture and what are our good things and how do we make each other better. That's not the way the market plays. That's not the way what happens in the organization. What happens is one group tries to dominate another, and that's where the term supremacy comes from, is when you don't have an equal value exchange. So we can see where organizations are at there. And then we move to other phase three there, and that is what's called the benefit stage or the organic stage of where the organization really sees and appreciates the benefits of diversity. And I'm not just talking identity diversity, which is important and extremely important because there's been policies and government regulations, and there's still behaviors and there's still ghosts in these systems that still perpetuate it, although legally they don't exist like they did before, and the laws have been changed, and people will argue about that. But if you get into these arguments, left or right or whatever side you're looking at, the one point that they both agree on is that there is historical ramifications of systemic isms here. And so those organizations that understand that are in that, what I call the benefit stage, and they're doing things to really bring people in. But it's usually at the identity, and it's usually because they got pressure or there was some reaction that caused them to say, okay, we better get more people in. For example, let's take Nike. Nike saw and sees the benefit of having a diverse workforce and having diversity and seeing what's going on with this Black Lives movement. And I'm not talking about the Black Lives organization, because there's a lot of things that I don't agree with that, the organizational context, but I do agree with what the movement is about, and that is recognizing what's taking place there. And Nike got out in front of it. And what happened is when they brought in Colin Kaepernick and they said, okay, we're gonna promote, we see what you're doing, you're gonna be part of our brand, what happened? Well, what happened is the people internally said, well, wait a minute, you're not taking care of business inside here. And so I don't know why you're going out and purporting that you're this company that's progressive and doing these things. And this is typical in these organizations when they move from a reactive stage and then they move into what they say is a benefit without dealing with some of the culture. So then they need to move to what I call this organic or the humane stage. And this is the point where the company recognizes the whole individual and they incorporate the whole individual. And it's what I call getting the individual to do the 24-8. And this 24-8 term that I use is, you get the whole person for the 8 hours that they're there to work. Mm-hmm. And boy, wouldn't you love to get that? But it's creating that environment, because you create an environment where people feel recognized, they feel valued, and they're tangibly rewarded with that.
Yeah, and I love that piece too, because we do that same thing at the People Catalyst with putting people in the part of the work that they do well. That one thing creates and shifts the culture as far as value, because so many times, you know, we see people are held in their smallness instead of their magnificence. And so how it's so critical and important to get to that, as you said, 24-8. So, okay, go ahead.
And then the final one on this assessment that we do is what was called a dynamic stage. And that's where majority of conscious oriented organizations are trying to get to. And simply the dynamic stage is having a structure of humanity with high performance within that organization, right? with the agility and resiliencies, some of the buzzwords that the consulting organizations are using, and the new literature and the new training is all around that. And what we're trying to do is reinforce humanity and have high performance people in that organization. It becomes dynamic, right? Mm-hmm. And people are excited, they're doing things, they're not fearful about what they're saying and the retribution they're gonna have, or walking on eggshells, if I say this, if I do that. No, they're focused on the work. And that's where a lot of the programs and these initiatives that are well-meaning by very good and educated and brilliant consultants, where it misses. And if it doesn't focus on the work and it just focuses on the program, guess what? You're not going to change the culture. You can change the individual, but understand that the individual, if he's working within a system, or he or she is working within a system, that system is going to overwhelm any individual changes that they have. So mm-hmm. what will end up happening is one of two things. They got the training, but they're back to business as usual, or they end up leaving.
Yep. And so, that doesn't bode well on either.